You're listening to Thinking Outside the Bud, where we speak with entrepreneurs, investors, thought leaders, researchers, advocates, and policymakers who are finding new and exciting ways for cannabis to positively impact business, society, and culture. And now, here is your host, business coach, Bruce Eckfeldt.
Welcome, everyone. This is Thinking Outside the Bud. I'm Bruce Eckfeldt. I'm your host. Our guest today is Izzy Kirsch. He is founder and CEO at Mode. We're going to talk about cannabis. We're going to talk about devices. We're going to talk about usage and really kind of what's going on in the world of consumer products and kind of different uses or different ways of consuming cannabis. I think a lot of kind of the challenge here as we've kind of expanded the market and gone from traditional cannabis users to kind of new groups, new segments, new populations that are interested in integrating cannabis into their lifestyle, into their dealing with various, whether it's medical conditions or issues of sleep and or just looking to find some relaxation and some ways of kind of really integrating cannabis into your lifestyle, how we consume cannabis and kind of the modalities and the different kind of ways, different types of products that we use is fascinating. And we've seen a lot of kind of interesting innovation and technology coming into the space that are really kind of changing the game and making things kind of different in terms of the technology, in terms of consumptions, in terms of really kind of understanding what cannabis is, how it's being used. Excited for this conversation. Izzy and his team are developing some really interesting products and really innovative space. So I'm excited to see what they're doing and hear more about the product. So with all that, Izzy, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Bruce. Great to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Before we get into what you're doing today and Mode and the product, give us a little background. How did you get into product design? How did you get into innovation? How did you get into cannabis? What's the backstory?
Yeah, sure. Originally from New York, moved to Canada as a kid, and then found myself back in New York going to university. Met my business partner and at school, and we kind of started working on a project. Similar time, discovered, you know, the internet and the opportunity around scale and, you know, building businesses that can grow much bigger and much faster, obviously through the internet, as opposed to doing some brick and mortar things or trying to talk to local businesses. So yeah, we right away started building online. It was quite new to me. You know, I was 18, 19 at the time, and it was just very exciting. I've been more on the creative side and designer, and I've been drawing since I'm a kid. So always been more, I guess, focused on product and making something that's functional, but at the same time, aesthetically pleasing and useful to the final user. So my business partner, he was a bit more finance focused. I was more product focused. Then we just kicked off on starting some tech projects. That has now continued. I'm 14 years deep, you know, in the tech space as a designer and as somebody building technology startups. I've moved from working on a lot of software projects initially to getting more excited about physical products and what the opportunities are and how much more you interact with it as a user compared to, you know, just making another dashboard or another mobile app or, you know, things online. So I found myself building an IoT platform in Silicon Valley that was in the commercial real estate space. But we learned a huge amount about Bluetooth sensors and connected apps, you know, dashboards and data platforms and everything that's involved in building an Internet of Things platform,
yeah,
which kind of led me to this opportunity.
Yeah. And how did this opportunity come up? I guess, what was your relationship with cannabis before? How did you kind of come up with the idea? How did that spark?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've consumed cannabis in the past. I also lived in Amsterdam for a little while, so definitely had some exposure
to it. Yeah.
And now I've been in California for over a decade, so I've definitely gotten a lot of just seeing it evolve and seeing it become so much more mainstream in California, at least, and seeing the different products on the shelf and how things are adapting and evolving to new consumer trends. What happened to me was that I had an injury and some surgery as a teenager, and then needed to have surgery again in my early 20s to remove hardware and screws that were installed.
Sounds fun.
Oh, yeah. A real pleasure.
Yeah.
That led me to, you know, deal with a lot of chronic pain and need to go through a whole healing process. What I found was that certain strains were actually making me more sensitive to the pain. It took a little while to notice that, but it was once I realized it, it became quite apparent, and it became this kind of design challenge of there's definitely some strains that work for me, definitely some that don't. And I can't be the only one trying to figure out what's right for me. There has to be some way to figure it out using tech and a device that allows you to dose, essentially. So the realization was, you know, dosing is the missing piece. And then if you add our education on top of it, where people can really understand how the different cannabinoids work and how to consume it, and then you provide a consistent dosing platform, it just becomes a real tool for mainstream society. So with that, then as a product designer, I kind of became a little obsessed with figuring out, okay, what is the right product? How is the end user going to interact with it? And how can we build something that kind of gives us the data that allows us to keep building and then eventually get the real personalization for cannabis?
Yeah. And what were some of those kind of challenges that you saw, like kind of going from, hey, I've got this idea for a product, to like, how did you actually start to approach developing the solution?
Right. I've moved from flower to vapor just as I was trying to dial it in and figure out what's working, what's not. Vapor is obviously a much more simple and discrete form factor. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole block to know that you're consuming when you're consuming with vapor.
Yeah.
And I started kind of counting in my head a few seconds, trying to dial in the dose, very rudimentary, and realizing that vapor is a great delivery mechanism. It has a high absorption rate and instant bioavailability. So as far as like kind of medical terms, it's instant relief. And that's a beautiful thing. But without any dosing or understanding of how much to consume each time, it's kind of trial and error. And not just trial and error, each puff and each session or experience is entirely different based on the battery you have, the cartridge you have, how long you inhaled, and your mood, and you know, different factors like that. So realizing that, I reached out to a business partner and to a friend that I had here in Venice, and we started kind of exploring what this platform would be. Initially, we thought, let's build this whole kind of siloed pod system where we have full control over the different aspects so we can really dial in a dosage a lot easier. But with time, we kept coming back to the 510 cartridge. If you're not familiar, the 510 thread cartridge is the universal cartridge that's currently sold in, you know, every dispensary across the country and across the world. They sell 100 million plus globally every year, and it's the standard across the industry. So we saw it, and we saw that there's definitely an opportunity. Obviously, it's going to be a lot more challenging to work with all these different cartridge manufacturer hardware, as well as the different brands and the different oils they're putting into it. But as technologists, we thought if we can really get to that and figure out a way to figure out dosing, we now have a real scalable platform and something that can be national and international and make us a global business very quickly. So we put in the legwork on the back end where we built a, you know, a lab and dosing robots, as we call them, that allow us to get real precision on each puff and to figure out exact milligram release on each puff. And then based on that, we collected a big data set and we're able to build some dosing algorithms. So that was our approach.
Yeah. And what were some of the kind of challenges as you got into that? Like, what about the plan kind of worked beautifully and what about the plan didn't?
Lots of challenges. And I guess initially I knew cannabis is going to be challenging. I knew there was limitations in capital and marketing. But as we got into it, the amount of limitations was quite profound. Obviously, we're a hardware product and we required some upfront capital to, you know, get through manufacturing and production. So starting to reach out to some of the Silicon Valley investors that we had known in the past and interacted with in the past, it became very clear very fast that that was not a solution. They all have LPs and laws around what they can invest in, and cannabis is just not on that list, you know, due to the federal situation. So it comes down to cannabis investors. Those are, at the time, was you know, a lot more limited. And cannabis investors, a lot of them know about cultivation and extraction. But getting into, you know, consumer electronics and building IoT platforms and the software and all that, they weren't as knowledgeable. And it was a bit more of a challenge to explain it to them. Luckily, we did find some capital groups that saw the vision and saw the opportunity, and you know, we were able to get funded and get into production.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it was just quite a technology undertaking of, you know, building these dosing, all the dosing equipment, building the algorithms, and overall making a high-end consumer electronics product that works consistently and is elegant and provides a real solution every time.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a well-designed product. I mean, tell me a little bit about the design choices or kind of, I guess, what you were going for, both in terms of kind of functional, but also in terms of, you know, aesthetics and who you imagine using this and how.
Right, absolutely. So we really tried to zoom out and think a bit more long-term, you know, 5-10 years from now, what is mainstream? How do we interact with it as a mainstream society? And how do people use it to positively influence their life without it becoming a vice or something that is, you know, a negative in the short term and in the long term? And we really tried to focus there. And we even worked with branding agencies as well as industrial design groups that did not have any cannabis connection. And we're able to come at it from a holistic health and wellness place and think, okay, what does a mainstream product look like that doesn't look like any kind of weed paraphernalia and has a premium feel to it? And, you know, people won't feel weird or concerned to have it on the table, interact with it and use it in a positive way. So that's been our kind of branding ethos from the get-go. And that's allowed us to make a lot of decisions that in culmination have come out to be a very solid brand and a very unique and beautiful product.
Yeah. And I guess, where do you see yourself competing, or who do you see yourself competing against, and where have you kind of found your segment, or how have you kind of found a niche in here?
Right. I do think it's, you know, the market's still so early that there's so many mouths to feed, so to speak, and new states opening up that I don't focus as much on, you know, competition. I think everybody can build a business and be successful if they put in the work and focus on the customer. Mm-hmm. But as far as we're providing dosing solutions, people consume edibles right now because they don't want the drastic effects of hitting a joint or a blunt or, you know, taking a dab rig or dab hit or those kind of things. And even with the vape pens, some of them have just had negative experiences from that. So they stick to dosed edibles. We think that once they see products like this, they'll become a lot more comfortable with it. There's also not, you know, people who currently don't touch cannabis at all. And there's definitely benefits for it. It's just the right form factors haven't been provided to them. And we think we are a platform that can start talking to those kind of customers more successfully. We definitely talk to the medical patient who has a very real need for it and doesn't want to just fly away every day. They want to be functional and they want to use it as a medicine. And, you know, it's a no-brainer for them. And then obviously we've had a lot of great feedback even from recreational consumers who really, let me just step back and say, as a brand as well, we try to zoom out and not put these two groups into boxes. You know, everybody in the industry talks about there's a medical box and there's a recreational box. And we just say, let's zoom out of it. It's about use cases and objectives. On the medical side, let's talk about somebody with Parkinson's who needs a specific solution, different cannabinoids at the right dosage to achieve the results they're looking for. Someone has cancer and needs to deal with it. Someone has chronic, you know, physical pain, needs to deal with it. On the health and wellness side, somebody wants some better relaxation or some better sleep. On the recreational side, someone maybe wants better socialization, better relaxation, or just something to, you know, wind down at the end of the day. If we talk about the benefits and the objectives of the plan, it becomes a much more holistic conversation instead of just putting people in the box of basically using it for a medicinal reason or just, you know, abusing it. And that's just not the right way to look at it.
Yeah. Bruce Eckfeldt here. Are you a founder or CEO looking to grow and scale your business? Are you feeling stuck and struggling to get to the next level? Maybe your leadership team is just not aligned and lacking accountability. I can help. I work with companies to craft highly effective and scalable growth strategies and create high-performance leadership teams to execute on them. Using my unique combination of frameworks and tools from Scaling Up, Metronomics, 3HAG, Lean and Agile, and my own experience as a founder and CEO of an Inc. 500 company, I help teams accelerate their growth, increase profitability, and dramatically reduce risk and drama as we go. If you'd like to learn more about how I can help, check out my website at eckfeldt.com or email me at bruce@eckfeldt.com. That's eckfeldt.com. Now on to the episode. Or I guess, what's your feeling around this kind of setup we have with medical programs, adult use programs? Do you feel like there is, I guess, do we feel like it works? How do you feel like it impacts your approach to the market?
If it works, I'm not convinced it works because it's that easy to get a medical card. So if it was that easy to get a medical card, all the data is skewed pretty heavily And then adult use is allows for both. So then you don't really know who's what. And like I said, it's really just about the benefits. The reason we're in this situation is for the last 100 years, the federal government said this has no medicinal value and pushed it to the black market. Now, then you have drug dealers trying to get people as, you know, messed up as possible and giving them the highest doses, you know, the highest potency at the cheapest price. That becomes the main focus. And it's just about getting as much as possible all day, every day. And, you know, like I said, the only reason that's the case is because the government did not acknowledge that this is nature's medicine growing out in the fields. And if we can harness it successfully, understand the dosage, provide some education, and then distribute it in a healthy way from the top down, it would be a very different situation. So the fact that I could even introduce a dosing device and it's a novelty in 2024 is a testament to how behind we are and you know what opportunity for us is as this thing goes mainstream across the US and then goes mainstream globally.
Yeah, and where have you seen kind of traction? I guess, which markets did you start in? How have you kind of approached, you know, kind of expansion? Where, I guess, how aggressive or how cautious are you being?
Yeah, absolutely. So what's unique about us and why we chose the 510 cartridge is that we are not a plant-touching business. So we just have hardware and software. Mm-hmm. And with that comes a lot of flexibility and a lot of space to grow. So to date, we've actually shipped to over 45 states across the U.S., including Alaska, Hawaii, and you know, Puerto Rico. And we have customers in all those states successfully using our device and buying cartridges from their local dispensary that they put into our device. And it's working for them. So we're pretty widely spread out across the US, and we have some, you know, interesting data because of that, that is, you know, where things get interesting and allow us to really hone in on cannabis personalization, which is our kind of North Star, is trying to figure out how do we get to personalized recommendations for an individual who can get onboarded successfully, use cannabis successfully, and keep optimizing based on this data.
Yeah. So I'm curious what data you're collecting around users, around use, like how are you kind of gathering this data or what data are you gathering? And then how are you developing insights or what are some of the insights you're finding?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is obviously anonymized data that we're collecting from customers who are interested in optimizing their experience. So the device connects to a mobile app via Bluetooth, and that allows them to really dial in and understand what's working for them and what's not. So the user goes through an onboarding flow when they first purchase the device, ask them a set of questions around their weight, their height, their age, their gender, what their objectives are with cannabis, what their previous experience has been with cannabis, what state they're in, things like that, that really start honing in on their unique profile so that we can provide them the best recommendations. From there, they go and purchase a cartridge at their local dispensary. They pop it into the device and they would identify it on the app. So they're choosing the brand and the strain they're using. They can put in cannabinoid information if that's not already available. And that allows them to start tracking their cartridges and seeing what's working for them. Once they start using the device, they have a chart that starts showing them the milligram amounts they're using per day. And that can really help you figure out how much you should be using, what's working for you, what's too much, and you know, get better, keep optimizing over time. The next steps, and we're just kind of in early versions of this, the next step is the feedback loop. So we're starting to ask very specific questions as the user is interacting with it to get an understanding of how it's affecting them. So how was your experience? What were the positive effects? What were the negative effects? What was the duration of that dosage? How was the flavoring? You know, some of these different aspects that can really start dialing in the data from there. And then our goal is to get to personalized recommendation, where we can successfully onboard a new consumer who's never interacted with cannabis and they feel fully in control with this device and app, where over 1 or 2 weeks where they're slowly increasing their dosage, we're asking them questions, they're getting themselves onboarded successfully. And then let's say they have Parkinson's or they have a specific ailment, we can recommend a very specific dose plan and they can put themselves on it and kind of regiment themselves and have something that's consistent and keeps track and keeps improving. So that's always been our North Star, is like, let's get to a point where using this dosage platform, anybody can use cannabis without too much thought or trial and error, and it's successful every time and it's providing positive effects.
Yeah. And I guess it seems like there's so many things you could measure about cannabis. Like, how did you decide on the things you were going to capture so that it was kind of broad enough to have a good set of data, but not so broad like it was going to be overwhelming for a consumer and, you know, having to answer 350 questions before you actually start consuming.
Right. Definitely. We spent a lot of time thinking that through. I've definitely spent a lot of time. And the good thing here is I'm kind of patient number one, and I've been using their release prototypes for many years now. And a lot of it has been very easy in a way, just because I understand what I need. And luckily, there's a lot of people who are similar to me and have similar needs. So we worked with our branding agency as well and really honed in on context, intention, cannabinoids, dosage. So context is who you are. Intention is what's your goals with cannabis? Do you have objectives? Do you have specific ailments or wellness goals or recreational goals? And then cannabinoids is what combination of cannabinoids? There's over 100. We still are getting, you know, learning about those. But which combination of cannabinoids do you need? And then dosage, how much of that do you need to take to get the best result? So that's kind of the four pillars. And by utilizing that, we can really start building a strong solution that eventually kind of decodes the science of cannabis, as we call it, where it's a missing data set here, but eventually it gets figured out. And the reason, like I said earlier, the reason all this is still early days is just because the federal government says this has no medicinal value for the last 100 years. So there has been very limited science and research going into really breaking down the cannabinoids, breaking down dosage, understanding the biphasic effect of it, understanding different people and their different, I guess, DNA makeup and things like that, and how these different cannabinoids affect it. But that's the opportunity, and that kind of realized a crowdsourcing opportunity by providing this platform and being able to ship it nationally.
Yeah. And I guess, do you feel like there's a difference in terms of kind of the data or use or even kind of branding for the consumer or the user that's looking mostly kind of, I'll say, kind of physical therapeutic benefits versus more kind of pleasure, you know, culinary, almost, you know, looking at the kind of the nuance of the actual flavor profiles? I guess, how do you bridge or divide those worlds in different ways?
Yeah, that's been a challenge because we know that this platform and the use of this device is going to be valuable to all parties. And within the context of cannabis, is going to be valuable to medical patients, to health and wellness consumers, and to recreational consumers. So we spent a good amount of time as well with our branding agency trying to work through how do we position the platform and the product that it still resonates with all these groups. And we kind of ended up somewhere right in the middle of a health and wellness platform that still should be exciting to the recreational consumer and should be obvious to the medical patient. We have a very mixed bag of customers. So far, we've only received 5-star reviews, and there's a good number of them that are straight heavy recreational, so to speak, and there's a good number of them that really use it for pain management and for medical needs. And they both seem to get the value of it, and for slightly different features or different reasons, but overall, it's resonating, which is great.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the, I guess, product design, the kind of product design strategy, and I guess where you are now, where you hope to go. Like, what are you kind of thinking about in terms of the future of how this product works?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of the key features of the device itself, and I will mention that when you unbox it, you don't need to use the app. It's not a requirement. It's just an addition if you want the additional value of being able to see your consumption, get recommendations, and all that. So you take it out of the box and you buy your favorite cartridge and you push it in. So we actually just got the patent granted last year for our quick snap connector. And that's basically a female connector that allows you to push in any 5/10 thread cartridge without needing to use a magnet or screw it in. So it just makes the experience that much more simple.
Yeah.
So you can think of it kind of like a pod system works now, where you can just push in a pod. You don't need to do any screwing or use any magnets. With 5/10 cartridges, all current batteries require that. And again, us running ahead 5-10 years and thinking, what does a premium mainstream consumer electronics product look like? We saw the need to make a leap here and make something that was a much better user experience. Oh, we got the patent granted, and you know, we're pretty happy with that. From there, there's a capacitive touch slider on the front as well as a display. And on the slider, you can slide up and down to choose the milligram amount you want per dose. You can also select which cartridge you have. So if you've identified it in the app, you can choose which one you're using right now, as well as see some device information and the battery levels, things like that. Once you start inhaling, the number starts running and you can see the number run all the way to the dose amount, and then it will vibrate and shut off, indicating that you've achieved the dose, and it won't provide any additional vapor once the dose has been received.
Is that automatic cutoff?
Yeah, automatic cutoff, exactly. Once that's done, a dosage bubble will show up on the app, and from there you can start tracking and understanding what's working for you.
Yeah. And where do you see the product going? Anything around what you're hoping to incorporate, either in terms of the physical product or hardware or software? Like, what's the next phase for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're getting into, you know, some larger mass production this year. And we really spent a lot of time working on this V1 product that we feel is good enough and, you know, well-designed enough that it could scale to thousands and thousands of units. So there's a good amount of runway here for us to really get this out into the market and provide a solution across the country. We do want to go international in the next, you know, 12 to 24 months. And there's just a few additional certifications that would allow us to start doing that. You know, then Canada opens up, and obviously Europe is getting very exciting and interesting as these different countries start looking at it more aggressively. And, you know, there's just a lot of expansion opportunities. Like I said, because we're just hardware and software and we can ship this nationally and internationally, it puts us in a very different playing field than a lot of the cannabis brands and a lot of the proprietary vape devices that require the filling equipment and the distribution partners and our retail partners all within each state that they're working in. So they have got a massive hill to climb, and we're able to kind of scale because we're just the hardware and software. As well as some, you know, yeah, like I said, the 510, it was our initial go-to market. It's still 75% of the vape markets. It is the majority, and there's a lot for us to do there. With time, we can potentially have some more of a modular design where we can allow different pod systems or different types of cartridges to integrate with our device and platform. Yeah. That's definitely some expansion opportunities. And we're also excited to start looking eventually at nicotine cessation and psychedelics as kind of sister business opportunities, given that most of the platform can then be duplicated and used for in those industries.
Interesting. So you can use the underlying technology in these same kind of related industries. I mean, technically you can, the same kind of vaporization process works for those products.
Yeah. I mean, definitely in nicotine cessation and with certain psychedelics.
Yeah. Interesting. So tell me anything that, like, if I gave you a magic wand that you could change about the industry right now, anything that would really kind of move the needle for you in terms of seeing either kind of the success of your product or usage or just success of cannabis in general?
Yeah, I think our biggest challenge as we get into marketing this and getting it out to customers is the limitations online to actually talk about it. And, you know, initially I thought we're a health and wellness platform. We're really positioning this to be for the good of the people. They've got to see that and be okay. Yeah. That was a little kind of naive thinking, I think. It's quite limiting. It was nice to see Twitter or X start allowing advertising, cannabis advertising, though we haven't yet activated with them. We are able to get some of our videos and content onto some of these other bigger platforms, but it's still, you know, there's still a level of risk there. Yeah. And that, I mean, it's just a timing thing, but it's a timing thing obviously related to some of the bigger factors such as decriminalization and legalization at a federal level that would allow these bigger media platforms to start opening up. So that's the challenges that we're currently dealing with, but we're definitely working around them. And, you know, it's a pioneering industry. And if these challenges weren't around, then the opportunities wouldn't be around either, because it would just be, you know, another run-of-the-mill industry where a lot of people are in and they're just doing regular business. So that's the stage. Yeah, exactly. And this is it.
Excellent. Izzy, this has been a pleasure. If people want to find out more about you, more about Mode, what's the best way to get that information?
Yeah, absolutely. Mode.co, M-O-D-E.co is our website. You should definitely check it out. You can order one and have it at your doorstep within a few days. So definitely worth exploring that. To talk to me, Izzy, I-Z-Z-Y at mode.co is my email, as well as you can hit me on LinkedIn at, you know, Izzy Kirsch, IZZYKIRSH on LinkedIn.
Perfect. I'll make sure the information is in the show notes. People can get that. Izzy, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Bruce.
That's it for this episode of Thinking Outside the Bud. Be sure to subscribe using your favorite podcast app so you don't miss our future episodes. See you next time.
You've been listening to Thinking Outside the Bud with business coach Bruce Eckfeldt. To find a full list of podcast episodes, download the tools and worksheets, and access other great content, visit the website at thinkingoutsidethebud.com. And don't forget to sign up for the free newsletter at thinkingoutsidethebud.com/newsletter.